This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome on in, Sports Radio 94 WIP. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in. The baseball playoffs are underway. Red October, 4 o'clock on Saturday at Citizens Bank Park. Well, it's a lot of Phillies today as we start looking forward to potentially the Mets coming here to Philadelphia. We'll get to that. A lot on the Eagles as well. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Philly. Hey, listen, y'all going to stop trying to normalize what's that? Candy corn?
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all going to stop trying to normalize.
Well, this is the wrong month to go against candy corn.
No, it's the right month.
Okay.
Because it's funny that you say that, because all of a sudden my algorithm is showing me all this designer candy corn. Candy corn is still nasty.
Designer candy corn?
Well, they have like different flavors and stuff like like to do now. And people are trying to ramp up candy corn season and say how good it is. Candy corn is not good, man. Like, that is the that's a waste of sugar. Like, seriously. Stop making candy corn. Nobody likes it. Nobody likes
Somebody
candy corn.
Somebody must like it.
I don't know. It's one of those things. It's kind of like fruitcake. Does anybody eat fruitcake?
I don't think so. That's over.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah, so it's the same thing, but they have fruitcake. Like, it's the same thing to me. Just because it's Halloween don't mean you need to try to force us to eat candy corn.
All right. Hugh, I'm not. Listen, I promise I will not bring any candy corn in here. You sold me on that.
I won't do that.
All right. 215-592-9494. Seth's going to join us at 11. Elliot later in the show. Lots to discuss. We also got, an apology from an Eagle we talked a lot about yesterday.
Apologize.
I don't know what it was, but we'll get to that. But, Hugh, we start off this morning with the quarterback, because we've reached an interesting point here in the season at the bye through four games. And not just in this season, but in the career of Jalen Hurts, who has been, you know, obviously a good Eagles quarterback and a good draft pick and a guy they paid and a guy that he took the Eagles to the Super Bowl. But he does not look right now like that guy. He does not look like that guy. You said it yesterday. I agree with you. He looks close to or is an average quarterback at this point. And as a guy that was at one point a very big Jalen Hurts supporter, and I wanted him on the field, and I wanted him to play, and I wanted them to keep him, and I wanted him to be the starting quarterback, and forget all these veteran guys that are over the hill. As we sit here now, I'm not talking about how I felt 2 years ago, because, you know, much like when Darius Slay tweets out his stats from 3 years ago, I don't care. Much like how you may have felt about Jalen Hurts 2 years ago, it doesn't matter. It's about now. And Hugh, right now, I am legitimately concerned about Jalen Hurts. Like, on the record, I'm concerned. I'm concerned about where his career is going. I'm concerned about where this season is going. And obviously, with that, where the Eagles' future is going, because he's so connected by being their starting quarterback and how much money they gave him. They're on the hook for a lot next year. He's probably going to be here. Hugh, I'm concerned because I see a player right now that doesn't do much super well, right? Like, he turns the ball over too much. He seems to be a little bit slow or in slow motion going through his reads and getting the ball out as fast as it has to be. He doesn't run quite as well as he used to, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like we have, like, you watch Lamar run, you watch Jaden Daniels run. They're making dynamic running plays. We don't really have that at the quarterback position. So I'm looking at him. I'm trying to figure out what he does super well. I don't see it. They have a team around him right now that has a lot of issues. And I'm just concerned that we're going the wrong direction with the quarterback that a few years ago looked like one of the top five guys in the league. Hugh, I'm on the record now on today. What is today? October second 2024. I am officially concerned about Jalen Hurts. Hugh, where are you on
and
the quarterback?
I think that's fair. Let me say that first. I think that's fair. And what I'm about to say, it's not zero sum. It's not the end of the world. But I think right now there is cause for concern because we're all focused on what Coach Sirianni's doing or what he isn't doing because right now he's the one that's fresh on our mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one that has taken a lot of the heat over the last couple of months. I'm going to even go back to last year when some of the things that he said made it feel like he was incompetent. I don't think that's the whole case. Now, he's not all to blame. I think you have to give Jalen Hurts some of that blame. And I can't put my finger on this. And I'll say it again for those people that don't like to listen to what's being said. This is not the end of the world for Jalen. I think he can get better. But right now, there's a disconnect between where Jalen is and where this team needs to be. And I think it can be fixed. I'm going to remain positive on this. I think it can be fixed. But we have to be honest about where we are. Sometimes, especially bad analogy time, in relationships, if you're trying to date, just use dating as an example,
mm-hmm.
and every time something happens, and for whatever reason, it doesn't work out. Say you try to date five or six times, and all five or six times, it doesn't work out. At some point, you got to start looking at yourself.
Look in the mirror. Yeah.
You have to look at yourself and wonder if maybe it's you. And I think that's fair. A lot of people, when we watch football and we think we see what we see, listen, people, we don't know as much as we think we do. Even I don't, because I'm not in the locker room. I don't know what's going on. But you have to start looking at things a little differently. And the thing that I see is this. Common denominators in situations like this, Joe. We're four games in. I think they're going to be better. I'm going to say that because I said it yesterday. I think they're going to be better. But right now, the common denominator is Jalen and the coach. Everything else has changed. But the common denominator right now is Jalen and the coach. And I think if you're being honest with yourself, you have to look at both of them and say, okay, who's doing what? And where is the disconnect? So that's where I am with it. Yes, to answer your question in a long talking way, yes.
A long talking to start us off. 215-592-9494. Here are some numbers for Jalen Hurts through the first four games. And we got 4 weeks in, right? Everyone's played 4 weeks. The Monday night games are in the book, so the stats are all out there. Through four games this season, Jalen Hurts, here are his rankings in the NFL. Yards per attempt, 22nd. Completion percentage, 16th. Passer rating, 21st. Sacks taken. So you want to be, you want to be towards the bottom of this. He's unfortunately towards the top. He's taken the 6th most sacks in the NFL. Turnover-worthy plays. I don't have to tell you. You've seen it with your eyes. He's first. He has the most turnover-worthy plays in the NFL. This is all real. And, I know we joked last year and we did a little Wentz watch. I'm telling you, this reminds me of where I was with Wentz 2019. Now, Wentz never recovered. He went in the tank. He got worse and worse and worse. Jalen doesn't have to. Jalen can fix this. They can fix this. This can go back on the train. But I'm seeing troublesome signs here from a quarterback who's not as good as he was a couple years ago. 215-592-9494. And my biggest theory on this, and I know a lot of people have different theories. Is it the coaching? Is it the scheme changes? All this kind of stuff. Is it he got paid, right? He's trying to justify his contract. Part of my thinking on this is he knows he's not as great of an athlete as he used to be, and it's changed how he plays the position. Let me quickly give you an example. Hugh, when I watched him in 2021 and 2022, he didn't put the ball in harm's way. He didn't throw interceptions. He didn't get strip sacked. And my theory is because if it wasn't there right away, Hugh, if he didn't see it right away, he took off and he ran. And he got 7, 8, 9, 10 yards, first down Eagles, and then we're happy, right? And then we go to the next play. Now, I think he knows he doesn't quite have the legs he used to. So he sits back there an extra second. He's looking. He's waiting. Oh, strip sack. And then the ball's out. And we say, Jalen's a turnover-prone quarterback now. Well, he's become that. And I just think it's physically, he's not the same. He's trying to do the right thing and make the play. But by the time he gets the ball out, like Sunday, that arm is hitting his arm and the ball is out. Like, I don't think any of this is intentional. I think he's trying to do the right thing, but you lose one little step in the NFL, it can change your game.
I don't know if I believe that's the case. This is one of those situations where you try to figure out what's going on. Like I said, I think Jalen is fixable. I think at a lot of times he's trying to do too much.
Yep.
I think that's what it is more so than anything else. he feels like he has an opportunity to make a play, and you need to speed that opportunity up. You have to realize that sometimes, you know, when what Kyle say, the shadow realm, guys come out the shadow realm quick. They come out quick, and you have to get ready to football. You just have to be aware of your surroundings.
Yep.
And he's not doing that. Because to me, every time Jalen has had an egregious turnover, it's been during a moment where there needs to a big play to be made. And he's trying to make that play instead of taking what the defense gives you. So I think more so that's, I guess for a lack of a better way of saying it, that's more like ego, because you want to be the guy, to be the hero.
Mm.
Think about it, Joe. The first pick that he threw, we were kind of behind the sticks a little bit.
Middle of the field against Green Bay, yep.
In the one that he threw in Atlanta, trying to be the hero because Kirk Cousins just drove the team down the field. And then you look at Sunday, and it's one of those plays where you're trying to make something happen. You're trying to get back in the game, and you're trying to heave the ball down the field. So I think everything that he's doing right now is fixable. He just needs to have a little bit more awareness about the situation that he's in.
215-592-9494. Let's hear from Ray Didinger on yesterday with the morning show. How concerned is Ray about Jalen?
I think there's genuine reason to be concerned here. And it's, as with all things and with all football teams and all football seasons, everybody tries to narrow it down to the quarterback, and it's never just the quarterback. So a lot of what's happening with this team is happening on multiple fronts. But ultimately, you know, ultimately it does come back to him in many ways. And he's just, I'm just really kind of baffled with the way he's playing right now. Because, you know, there's a part of me that says, I know he's better than this. And I keep thinking each week is going to be the week that he kind of comes out of it. But the further along we go and the deeper we get, you know, it's harder to find the light at the end of the tunnel.
Well, that's for sure. I mean, and the evidence mounts that this is more of who he is than what we thought in 2022, unfortunately. Let's go to the phone lines here. 215-592-9494. Are you concerned? Is it like you have real legitimate concern about Jalen Hurts right now? We all do. This is becoming a show movement. We'll get Kyle's take in a second. Brahim in Jacksonville. What's up, Brahim?
You see, Joe. I knew you were going to do this, man.
What am I doing?
You know, and Hugh, what's up, Hugh?
What's going on, brother?
I appreciate you, man. Hey, Joe, In 2020, you know what your problem is, man? You got caught up into the anybody but Wentz camp. And I knew that you were not really a Jalen Hurts fan. You just wanted anybody in there except for Carson Wentz. And now look what you got.
So, Brahim, your read on this is totally wrong.
Brahim,
we're gonna have a good conversation. I'm glad to hear from you. It's been a while. What I don't subscribe to as a fan is I'm a Wentz guy, I'm a Hurts guy, I'm an Eagles guy, Brahim. And players deteriorate and they decline at different levels. Some guys like Tom Brady, they go for 20 years. Some guys break, some guys fall apart. And unfortunately, for Carson, he fell apart. We all know that now, right? And Jalen Hurts, I was a fan because he was young, he was fast, he played smart. He's not that young anymore compared to the rest of the league. He's kind of young, but not that young. He's not as fast as he used to be, and he doesn't play as well. Like, I wasn't a Jalen Hurts guy. I was a Jalen Hurts over a Wentz guy. I was a Jalen Hurts guy. Guess I'm an Eagles guy. And guess what, Brahim?
Wait a second. A lesser quarterback.
Whoa. Jalen is a better quarterback than Carson Wentz. Let's stop that. Let's stop that.
Right now he is. At the time, he wasn't.
At the time.
Sorry.
What are you talking about?
At the time he was.
At the time he was. Obviously, we all saw it with our eyes. He came and he played better. In 2021, he took the team to the playoffs. He's been a better quarterback than Wentz. Forget Wentz, Brahim. The problem is, once again, unfortunately for all of us, we're watching a quarterback decline. So now I'm concerned, right? I want him to play well. And we don't have another option like we had with young Hurts here. So I don't have that button to push. But this isn't about being a Hurts guy. I want the Eagles to win. I think you do too. Go ahead.
I want the Eagles to win too, dude. But this is my point. We've seen way more bad out of Jalen Hurts than we see good. Now, in 2020, I bit the bullet. I went ahead and got on board because I was tired of fighting with my fellow Eagles fans about the quarterback. But I defended them all 2023 because I figured If I seen it once, I'm going to see it again. But the bottom line is that we have seen more bad out of Jalen Hurts than we've seen good. 2022 was an outlier. And the problem is now we do have a quarterback problem. All of the deficiencies that I didn't like when he was coming out of college are now cropping back up. And now it's 5 years into his career, and now we're stuck. We didn't pay the man $250 million. So I agree with you for once that we do have a quarterback problem. But I guarantee you this. Watch this, Hugh. Jalen throw two more interceptions in the next two games. Joe going to be calling for Kenny Pickett.
Brahim, I might. Brahim, you got me. No, Brahim, good hearing from you, buddy. It's a good phone
you
call,
too,
man.
Brother.
We appreciate you. Listen, if he throws two picks a game, I'm going to bench him. Like, you can't play.
Nah,
you can't.
Wait a second. Do that.
If he throws two picks a game for the next month. I just want to get on the record. If he turns the ball over two times a game for the next month.
You want to go with Jimmy Two Gloves?
I'll go with anyone.
Nah, I'm not there.
Hey, wait a second. He can't play if he turns the ball over twice a game.
I think this is fixable.
No, I agree with you.
If he throw two more picks, Joe,
Not two more picks. Two picks per game for the next month.
Okay. That might be a little harder pill to swallow.
Oh my goodness!
But we're not going to get to that point. I don't even want to speak that into existence.
Yeah, a month ago, you might have told me we weren't there, and we're here now. I mean, he's turned the ball over at an incredible rate.
I feel like part of this is because we were unhealthy. I'm okay with where Jalen is. Jalen needs to be okay with where he is right now.
You're okay with this?
Well, can I finish?
Go ahead.
Can I finish?
Go ahead.
This is what I mean. I'm okay with Jalen being average because that's where I am. I'm okay with him being average. I feel like we can win with average play from the quarterback position with the weapons that we have. I'm okay with that. He just needs to realize that right now, in this moment, that might be what he's looking at. He might be an average quarterback. And so with that being said, listen to what I'm saying now.
I'm all ears.
Do what's best for the offense. Take what the defense is giving you. Stop trying to play hero ball if that's what you're doing. Because I'm speculating. I don't know what's in Jalen's head. I don't know him well enough to know exactly what he's thinking. But put the ball in the hands of your playmakers. There were some plays yesterday, or the other day, I should say, that he left on the field that if we make those plays, we might be having a different game.
I agree.
Early in the game. So let's correct those. Let's work on that.
I hear you on that. It's amazing how the bar has changed here for all of us. That like we
got to adjust, Joe. This is one of those fluid situations where you just got to adjust on the fly, man. I'm still trying to get to New Orleans.
Yeah, that's what this is about. It's about New Orleans.
This is about me. Yeah.
All right, let's hear Kyle's take on this. Kyle, is this an official show movement? Are you officially concerned about Jalen Hurts?
I don't know how anybody could not be concerned with Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
Like there's been a lot of talk over the last few days after that Bucs game and just the last few weeks, I'd say, about like, oh, this is weird. Like, this is not Kellen Moore's offense. And the blame immediately goes to Nick Sirianni. At what point do we take our heads out of the sand and say, whatever you want to say about Nick Sirianni, whatever you want to say about Kellen Moore, these are NFL coaches. What their job is, and they say this all the time, they know their job is to put their players in the best position to succeed. So maybe, just maybe, they don't think Hurts is capable of running that kind of offense, and they think the best way for him to succeed is to run whatever bastardized version of Brian Johnson, Nick Sirianni, and Kellen Moore's love child offense is. That's what it is. Like,
we are on one today.
Hugh, but even if Jalen Hurts was able to run that smoothly not turn the ball over, like, I think things would look a lot better. Yeah. I can't name you one thing right now, because we say this about Nick Sirianni all the time. What does Jalen Hurts do well now?
Can I just say this? In my old-ass football wisdom, because I understand that analytics plays a whole big part in all of this.
And the Eagles are big on that,
And I understand that we are a throwing team. But can I just say this? Because I just feel like it needs to be said. If my quarterback is struggling, the one thing I'm not going to do is exacerbate the situation by keep making him throw the football. I'm going to run the football just until he gets comfortable. I'm going to give him throws that makes it comfortable for him. And like I said, there were some throws that he missed in that game Sunday that probably could have made it comfortable for him. But I'm going to feed the beast. regardless, I don't care if he was 32 years old. If he can run the way that he's been running, I'm giving Saquon Barkley the ball.
So why should we have to default to that when we paid a quarterback $50 million?
Well, not just paid a quarterback. They paid two receivers.
Can I say this?
Paying almost $500 million for the receivers and the running back.
This is what I need people to understand, Kyle, and I'm going to start with you, and I know you're about to have a fit. Just because the quarterback makes that money doesn't make him great. That's the going market for quarterbacks.
But you're right about that, but it's a problem.
It's a problem.
The Eagles, they can't build a Super Bowl team with an average $50 million
quarterback. And I totally agree with
that. It doesn't work.
But at the same time, Joe, you can't build a team if you don't have one. Guess who just got paid? And looks like he's garbage. Or let me take that back. Looks like he's not playing well because I don't want to call NFL players garbage.
Lawrence.
Yeah, Trevor Lawrence. Yeah.
And they're 0-4.
And he just got paid.
We have him. The Eagles, I'm going to go back to the Wentz thing. Once he deteriorated, they got him out of here and they drafted another quarterback. The Eagles will not live with Jalen if he's average. I'm telling, like, the rest of this year they will, because they're kind of stuck.
Yeah.
But if
they're going to look for another one.
Of course they are. That's where this is going. I mean, I'm concerned. 215-592-9494. Let's go to AB in Philly. What's up, AB?
Listen, let me first of all say, Joe, I'm with you. I am an Eagles uniform dude. We can talk about Jalen Hurt all we want. He's not going anywhere. But like Hugh says, you can fix his problems. But the problem is there is a cancer that is spreading in the culture of the Eagles team. The organization has a cancer in it. In order for them players to play right on offense and defense, you got to remove the cancer. The cancer started last year and is now rolling over into this year. You have to fire Sirianni, make freaking Kellen Moore your interim coach, because that's what you was going to do anyway. You have a chance to do it now. Sirianni can't be there for the rest of the season, man. I'm talking about you got players on bigging up other players. You got players bigging up. Now,
bigging
you.
Up. Yeah, that's
and
crazy.
You. Listen,
yes,
Hugh.
I'm listening.
How was those Eagles Dallas game? How was the Eagles Dallas week when you was playing?
It was different.
It was different. What would have happened to Slay if he would have did what he did?
AB, put it like this. I'm cool with Michael Irvin, Eric Williams, and those guys now.
Yeah.
But during the course of the season, it wasn't a whole lot of conversation to be
right.
had.
Right.
It just wasn't.
I'm like, all right, on the field, yo, Dallas are our avowed enemies. But we respect, real Eagles fans respect Dallas, respect Redskins, and we respect our division. We are one of the hardest divisions. What Slay did, yo, was out of line with our foul enemy. Come on, dog. He got to go.
AB, I agree. They have an issue in that locker room. And
yeah,
now look, the culture stinks. And the head coach, he's in charge. AB, good phone call. The head coach is in charge of the culture. Look, when I say I want Sirianni out of here, I'm not trying to let Jalen off the hook. Jalen's got to play better.
Mm-hmm.
And just because Jalen's not playing well doesn't mean Sirianni's excuse for the team just coming out flat every single week. They can't score a point in the first quarter. Their defense has there's multiple issues here. But right now, as we discussed today, Jalen Hurts. And the Slay thing, I said yesterday, and I know he responded. I don't know if he's responding to what he's seeing on social media, if he's listening to the show. They should take the C away. I mean, that is not captain stuff.
Oh, you said that?
I did say it yesterday. I said,
I didn't hear that.
Sirianni could win me back over if he takes
the
C away.
Yeah, that ain't probably going to happen. But I get you.
Should.
I feel you.
I feel
you on that. Yeah.
And that's not how a captain acts. Anyway, 215-592-9494.
We are.
Well, we got issues. We have issues. All right. We'll get to more calls in this coming up. Are you officially concerned about Jalen? This is a safe space. The midday show is a safe space for you.
Is it?
Yeah, it's a no judgment. Judgment-free zone. We can be concerned together.
Okay.
And if you're not concerned, you know, maybe we can hear that too. All right, 215-592-9494. We judge each other. We won't judge you. We'll get to some more audio from the people who have watched the film. What are they seeing about Hurts? And an interesting statistic about the Eagles offense that definitely makes you think. We'll throw out some theories on why it is the way it is so far. 215-592-9494. We'll get to a lot of Phillies today, a few days away from the start of Red October. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age, wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I. com.
Yeah, with Hurts, he's playing hesitant. He's playing indecisive. I mean, I think the two issues with Jalen Hurts this season and in this game, one is that he is turning down throws. Now, I don't want to make it sound like, oh, my gosh, they schemed it up and guys were wide open. But there are throws you see that you would say most quarterbacks are going to kind of pull the trigger and cut that loose. And give their player a shot there. And he's hesitant to do that so far this season to a pretty large degree. And so if you're going to play that way, it's sort of a conservative way to play, then you can't also have the turnovers. But he leads the league in fumbles. He's got 7 turnovers on the season. That's second most in the NFL. So he's just playing with a hesitancy.
The voice of Shio Kapati on the morning show talking about Jalen Hurts. And that's not a good combination. Let's just be real. Hesitancy, not making big plays, but also turning the football over. 215-592-9494. A little Jalen Hurts temperature check on this bye week Wednesday. We'll get to a lot of Phillies. Seth Joyner is going to join us coming up at 11 o'clock. We'll get his take on Jalen and the team off the loss and where they're at right now. We'll talk to Elliot later in the show, and we'll start looking ahead here to the Phillies against maybe the Mets, who won last night up 1-0. Over the Milwaukee Brewers. Hugh, that was interesting hearing from Shield there, because you know he's watching the tape and he's saying there are throws that are there to be made, and he's not pulling the trigger. Hugh, do you think at this point he's trying not to throw picks, so he's holding back on the throws?
Playing a little conservative?
Yeah.
Because he doesn't feel like he can get it in there. Who knows? I don't know, but it's one of those things where I feel that as a coach, you have to do everything you possibly can to help make him comfortable and put him in position to feel that he can make those throws. I don't know. Again, I have to keep saying this because I don't know what's going on in the meetings. I don't know what's going on at practice. But somewhere along the line, it just feels like, and it looks like, Jalen might have some confidence issues.
So that I think that's totally fair. I also wonder, and I think it was Dan Orlovsky I saw the other day, said on ESPN, feels like the whole Eagles offense is in slow motion sometimes. Jaws was on talking about Jalen's processing and how quickly he's got to get through things.
It's unfortunate. Out of 4 games, he's had 2 poor games. The Green Bay game, the opener, was a down game, and this was a down game this week. He's had 2 solid games in between. But, you know, But I think Tom Brady said it a number of times, and it's something we've been talking about for a long time here in Philadelphia, because we see it every week, and Tom doesn't see him every week. Is, you know, he's got to speed up his game. He's got to speed up the reading and defense process, and the coaching staff has to help him speed up that process with play design.
Sure. So
it's just a part of his game right now. It should be better after 5 years in this league. He's got all the God-given talent in the world to be, you know, a great quarterback in this league. But the offensive system must set him up for success, and he must understand he got to pick up his tempo and get the ball out of his hand quicker.
It's the truth. Jaws said it the other day. I mean, that was the play where he got strip sacked. You, it was too slow. I mean, if you go watch the play again, I think he said Calcaterra was open. I think Jalen said that after the game. He was trying to get it to one of the tight ends over the middle. Yeah. He is open, but it takes too long. Like, you know, the pass rusher that left and came back from the shadow realm, you can't hold the ball for 4 seconds in the pocket and think something good's going to happen.
You can't, because you know that's one of the things. And I think back to the practices that I've been in where I hear coaches say, hey, man, you got to let that go. If it's not there within 3 seconds, that's a long time. Let the ball go, because somebody's coming. You best believe that. Somebody's coming after you, and you're probably – now you're putting the ball in harm's way from getting strip sacked or just losing yardage.
Yeah.
So you don't want to do that. So you have to speed that clock up.
Let's go to Demon, who's up next. What's up, Demon?
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Good morning, buddy. What are you thinking today?
Oh, man, listen, I think it's a little bit of both Sirianni and Jalen Hurts. And I just want to explain to you guys why.
Mm-hmm.
Morning to you, Hugh, just to say that too, brother.
Morning,
man. All right, top of the day to you, brother. Let's get into it. I say it's Sirianni because of the call, like the other caller said. I agree with that. And I say it's Hurts because of his decision-making. But I also agree with Hugh because Hugh said something major. He said, listen, this is fixable. And I believe it's fixable. And let me explain why. You remember last game, Baker was tearing us up, those short routes, back and forth, cutting across, all that. When Jalen was in trouble, wasn't nobody turning around. It wasn't no short routes. So the play calling, and then on top of that, he didn't run the ball. If, I believe this. If we come out, and I don't care what happens, give it to 2-6 three times in a row. I don't care what happened. Back to back to back to back. I don't care. Get that established. Get it going. I guarantee we're going to make get the yards. And then after that, Jalen can dink and dunk over the top because now everybody coming in. We're not playing to our strength. Our strength is Saquon Barkley in the running game. We got beasts up front. What y'all think?
I think that is the best part of their
offense
totally right now. Yeah, it is.
I totally agree. And I'm of the mindset as a former defender, do what's working for you right now. Slow the game down. I don't think they did anything Sunday to help the defense out or to help the quarterback out. That's kind of where I'm at with it.
And that's where I'm at, Hugh. That's why I said, man, listen, I got Jalen and them little minor mistakes. You know, skinny Batman should have came over a little harder than the fumble. That was totally him. But along with that, you got to help him out. And that's the coordinator's responsibility and the coach. Call these plays, these quick reads, these quick dropbacks. The ball is out of his hand fast. You know, like Baker was. Our line didn't have a chance to get to Baker, man. We ain't had a chance to get to him. Just think about it.
Well, Dan, I'm glad you brought that up. But, Dan, we appreciate the phone call. Good call. You know, on Sunday, Baker had the quickest time to throw in the NFL.
Absolute quickest.
And Jalen right now, I think, is – I heard Joe this morning say he's 32nd in the NFL in term, you know, holding the ball in the pocket. It's like one guy – and that was just one game for the Bucs. But in that game we saw against us – he got rid of the football quick, quick, quick. And meanwhile, Jalen's holding it, holding it, holding it. And then bad things happen. All right, so Kyle mentioned earlier in the show, and people brought up the coaching here. How much is the coaching's fault, right? Sirianni, more, even though he just got here. He's supposed to make a big difference. So far, it doesn't look like a difference. Or how much this is just Jalen Hurts. So one thing that we talked about a lot last year, remember here we talked about how much the Eagles did not use motion last year. They were kind of towards the bottom of the NFL. They were not running an offense like other teams. And we wanted to fix that, right? So we got Kellen Moore.
Yeah.
And Kellen Moore last year, I believe, was top 10, the Chargers were, in terms of motion, in terms of getting guys in motion to, you know, help the quarterback out, make things easier for the way he could kind of see what's going on at the line of scrimmage. Well, so the first motion report came out. Every 3-4 weeks, they put this out.
The first motion report came out.
We got our first, it's like the report card in school. We got the first market period is in. And the Eagles right now rank 19th in the NFL. At snap motion, motion at the snap. They're 19th, so I think a little bit higher than last year, but not high, right? Not even top half of the NFL.
They started out pretty good at the beginning of the season, though, didn't it?
It did. Week one, that touchdown they got to Saquon was off of motion, the wheel route. So, Hugh, if you had to guess why, like, we know they wanted to do more motion. We all think they should do more motion. Kellen Moore did a lot of motion last year, and so far this year, compared to the rest of the league, they're 19th. If you had to guess why do you think they're not higher?
I would probably say because of the personnel changes over the last couple of weeks, guys being injured, guys not knowing where to be, Jahan Dotson probably not being comfortable in the offense. I mean, it could be a number of things because, like, to your point, it started off great.
Week one, it felt like they did more.
It felt like they did more, but I think as we progressed through it, something happened where, I hate to say it like this because people are going to jump all over, but they had to dumb it down a little bit, you know, or pull it back. That's the better word. Pull it back a little bit in order to get everybody up to speed.
Like when you say something silly, you say, I'm going to pull that back.
Yeah.
pull it back.
They had to pull it back a little bit.
Yeah.
That's why I feel like they're going to be different coming out of the bye.
I think you're probably onto something here. That with all the different personnel, with no AJ the last 3 weeks, with no Devontae last week, that they had to pull it back a little bit, that done less of it. But, Kyle, there's people out there that think maybe this is because Sirianni's hand is still in this, that it's not really all Kellen Moore's offense. I don't know. I mean, we could throw out a bunch of theories. I don't know why, but I expected more motion than we've seen so far.
I don't know how many different offenses or different coordinators we have to go through before we realize that maybe they are trying to play to the quarterback's strengths. They're still not throwing over the middle of the field. They're not doing as much motion as we thought they would. They're not doing under center. Like, do they think that it would be a detriment to this offense to have Jalen Hurts turn his back to to the defense as a guy who already holds the ball for too long. Like, I think this is very clearly a Jalen Hurts problem. It's just easy for people to put this on Nick Sirianni and to get Nick Sirianni out of this offense. And maybe he has some involvement. But, like, there's no way you can convince me that they're this brain dead and trying, like they're, I don't think they're trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. I think this is what they believe that is the most beneficial for Jalen Hurts. And, like, I just think people are ignoring the real issue here because it's convenient to look at Nick Sirianni.
The problem for us as fans and for them as they try to evaluate their team moving forward is they didn't separate the chicken and the egg. Sirianni's still here. So, like, if you want to point to the coaching and Sirianni, what are we going to do? You're right. I can't argue with you. Maybe it is his fault. But Kyle makes a fair point. They changed the coordinator. It's the same nonsense. Like, so maybe it is just the quarterback. But the Eagles are going to need to figure out what the real issue is moving forward, Hugh, because they're going to have to make big decisions. Like, if they turn it around and they win, that's everyone's happy. It's easy. But if this thing keeps middling along, they're going to have to try to figure out what the real issue is, and I don't know how you figure it out.
I think, for me, with my reckless speculation...
Oh, that's my favorite thing we do.
Yeah. I think part of it is Jalen has to be able to adapt, or he has to be, what's that, malleable? Yeah. Well, yeah, he has to be able to adjust.
I like that word. malleable is a nice, that's a fun word.
I like that. I mean, that was the right word.
He has to be able to adjust, man.
And that pronunciation.
And it doesn't feel like he's doing that. It doesn't feel like he feels like he's culpable in any of this. The answer that he gave this weekend when he was asked about his coach, we have our moments. That doesn't feel like you know the weight of the situation.
Mm-mm.
Like, Coach Sirianni's going to get some heat. You getting heat too, brother. I know you don't like to watch, you know, SportsCenter, all the other stuff, but they ain't just talking about Coach Sirianni. Like, you know, you might have your support group telling you that everything is cool and Coach Sirianni's an idiot. I don't know what's going on. I'm just speculating like I do. But when you turn on TV, they're talking about you too. And they're wondering whether or not you are the guy that they thought you were. So don't get it twisted. Do not get it twisted. You and Coach Sirianni are joined at the hip. Y'all Siamese twins at this point. So whatever happens with this team goes as you go.
No doubt.
And if you're having struggles, yeah, they're going to blame the coach. But, hell, they're going to be looking at you, too, because this is your second coordinator that you've had in a short period of time.
Well, it's third overall.
Well, I was like the last two years.
Oh, the last 2 years, yeah.
The last 2 years. Well, I'm not going to say this year is bad because the story is still being written.
Right.
But you get where I'm going. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm picking up, what I'm putting down. And this coordinator came in somewhat highly decorated.
It was a big deal when they got him. Yeah.
And you're looking at, and whether you admit it or not, or you want to believe it or not, you're being compared to Dak Prescott. Like, that's the truth. You're being compared to him and the success that Dallas Cowboys offense had with Kellen Moore.
I would sign up for him playing like Dak in a heartbeat. Without a question.
That's what you're looking at, bro.
So you threw that name. Let me give you a name. I'm going to give you a quarterback name that's in the back of my mind here. And I hope this has a better outcome.
Kenny Two Gloves?
Well, no, I don't. I'm not.
You're not there yet?
I'm not there yet. Not there yet. But I'm going to give you a former MVP of the league that I feel like we're on the trajectory of here. And Jalen's got the only one that could fix this. This is reminding me of Cam Newton's career. Yeah. I know Cam Newton had a nice career.
Really?
I mean, that's not Jamarcus Russell. It's Cam Newton.
It hurts me.
Well, because go look at Cam Newton's career. He had one special season in 2015. They went to the Super Bowl, just like the Eagles did in 2022. He was the MVP of the league, which Jalen probably would have been if he didn't get hurt in Chicago that year. But that was an outlier year. It was the only year he was special, and I never thought Hugh Cam ever refined his game, right? He was a runner. He had a very strong arm, not the most accurate, but his flaws, he never fixed them. I always thought like he was oblivious to he needed to fix these other things, and he just kind of was there for three or four more years, wasn't great ever again, and then it ended. I hope that's not Jalen, but right now it's like it's a very similar like start to their careers?
I don't feel like that's the case, because I feel like Jalen has grown as a passer. And I think the numbers bear that out for the most part. The number that we have to get past and we have to work on is the turnovers.
That's a big one.
That's a big – and I'm not trying to diminish how much weight that number carries, but I feel like Jalen has evolved as a quarterback. He just needs to figure out how not to turn the ball over and let the ball go faster. Jalen's had some good plays this year. I'm not about to sit here and say that Jalen's regressed to the point where you can't do anything with him. I think there needs to be some tweaking done. Hell, bring his dad in the coach, help him coach. His dad is one of the guys that I know helped him get to where he was when he went to college and everything. Sure. Maybe his dad can help fix him. Maybe you need to – like, this is one of those situations, Joe, that I feel like it's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world when it comes to our quarterback and whether or not we can get this shit righted. I really feel like that.
It's not, we're not there. We're just going in the wrong direction. Then we got to fix this quick. Chuck in Mount Airy. What's up, Chuck?
Yo, Julio, what's the dealio here?
What's up, man?
Hey, Chuck.
Hey, listen, man. Damn, we got to get the pop in here? Oh, man, we in trouble, man. We got to get the pop up in here, man.
Sometimes, you know, dad the only one that can get it right, though. Chuck, you know how that goes. You know, if dad got to come up here, you better straighten up, because you know you don't want pops acting up.
That's why I say, what are you bringing a belt behind you, too, huh?
Yeah. I think I whooped that school before. It ain't a good feeling.
Yeah, no, it ain't. It ain't. It's embarrassing. It's very embarrassing. You know what I mean? But listen, Jalen is the thing that makes this thing go. Obviously, we know that, right? I want Nick out of here, but, you know, they're not going to happen in the middle of the season. They're not going to do that. Jeffrey Lurie typically doesn't do that, so there's no need to be talking about that. But Jalen, if he doesn't play well, he pisses in between a rock and a hard place, because now we have to depend on a running back and Saquon Barkley, who's still a great back, but he comes from a losing organization, and he has a lot of mileage on him. So we essentially turn to the New York Giants. When we have to depend on him, we trade. No,
don't look at it like that, Chuck. Don't look at it like that, Chuck.
No, I'm serious, man.
No, I hear you. That's why I start laughing. He said he come from a loser organization.
That's true.
I mean, it's the truth. He's a great player. I love Saquon, but we didn't bring him here to make him our vocal point of our offense, right? We agree on that?
You're right. He was supposed to be a great compliment.
Desperate times call for desperate measures,
boy,
man.
This is desperate in week 4. My goodness.
I know he, but we're in trouble, man. If we don't get, we need Lane back. That's number one. We need he's arguably the best right tackle in football. We need him back. We need A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and Goddard to go with Saquon. You know, if we depended on Saquon, you know, because the way that Jalen is playing, you know, he's playing equivalent to Daniel Jones.
No, come on. Hold up, Chuck.
Let me pull the numbers.
Don't do that. Don't do that, Chuck. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
I'm just saying. I mean,
no,
I'm
Chuck, don't do it. Not Daniel Jones, dog. Not Daniel Jones.
I'm talking about right now. I'm not talking about, past numbers.
He's my fantasy quarterback, too. He ain't gave me nothing. Daniel Jones ain't gave me nothing at fantasy football.
Yeah, why do you have Daniel Jones in fantasy football?
Because I needed another quarterback. He's not my starter.
Hugh.
He's not my starter. But he's my quarterback.
Hey, listen, I got Kyler Murray in one of my leagues, so you know how I feel about that, right? You know what I mean? I had to go get a short guy because I'm a short guy. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? No, listen. But I'm just saying, man, you know, back to Jalen, he's not moving the needle. So he picks us in between a rock and a hard place, and we essentially turn it into the Giants, man. I'm talking on offense. I mean, you look at this team, you know, we're not scoring a lot of points, and we're just squeaking out wins, and we're counting on the running back that has a lot of mileage on him, and we have no other plan, no other resources now. We can't count on the coach to get us out of anything, and this ain't Kellen Moore's offense. It ain't. I'm sorry. I've seen Kellen Moore call offenses before. We all have. This ain't his offense. I don't know if they're trying to, let Jalen, play to his strengths, or if Nick Sirianni got his hand in the cookie jar. I don't know what's going on. I just know that Kellen Moore calls a better game than this. Nothing's adding up right now, man. This is why this 2-2 start is very tricky. And I tell you, the biggest thing that's going to happen to the Fluffy Eagles is if our guys come back healthy. Other than that, I have no faith.
Well, Chuck, you're not the only one, Chuck. We appreciate the phone call. I think they'll be able to be better on offense when they get those guys back, but it wasn't like they were lighting it up in week 2 or week 3. All right, let's James Jones, he made a point yesterday on FS1 about all this, and maybe we should be a little bit less harsh on Jalen, because, heck, he didn't have his guys on Sunday.
We give every single quarterback a pass outside of Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes when they don't have their weapons, mm-hmm. let alone your tackle on the offensive side of the ball. Because we would do the same for Purdy if he didn't have Trent. We would do the same for Burrow. We would do the same for Herbert. We would do the same for all these quarterbacks except probably two. You two that's up there, y'all figure out a way to win with whatever we toss you out there with. So, Jalen Hurts, listen, I have to see him continue to play bad like this with AJ and Smitty and Goddard and Lane Johnson out there. And then I would say, you know what? It's real now.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? But right now, I'm not going to come off this Tampa game with none of his weapons, including his tackle, and say that Jalen Hurts is broken or anything like that.
So that's basically, saying, let's put the pause on this for a second.
That's fair. But at the same time, when he did have him out there, he was still making mistakes. He was still turning
week
the ball
one.
Over.
They had everybody week one.
Now, I am of the mindset that, you know, people are talking about he's a, I wouldn't say bust, but they're talking about he's not that good and he might be middling. That's a fair assessment as well, because that's kind of where I'm at. Because when you talk about those other quarterbacks, they've played well with lesser talent. They have played well. Jalen's not that guy.
For the record, because Chuck brought it up, I looked it up. Jalen's numbers are better than Daniel Jones. They're not just not enough better. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, they're not blowing you away.
No, right? Like, yeah, he's better. I mean,
he's a better quarterback.
Well, obviously, he's better than Daniel Jones. I'd like the gap between their numbers to be significant, and it's like, yeah, he's better, but like that's the fact. The fact of the matter is, his numbers aren't very impressive.
And I will say this for a lot of fans, whether they want to admit it or not. When you put that hefty price tag by your name, mm-hmm. you're expected to do you're expected to be extraordinary because you make all the money. Because it's funny to me that a lot of times when people talk about Jalen, they say, well, we paid him $250 million and not realizing that's the going rate for quarterbacks.
So you and I keep having the same, similar conversation. Yeah. You're right. It is the going rate. But you have to at least be good to justify the money, because if you pay,
because it puts your team in a bind,
right? Like, you know what? You know where I think we could point to? Obviously, the Eagles have spent their money on the offensive side, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember when Russell Wilson got paid. I forget who had the line, the quote, but I heard it somewhere. It was like Russell, by signing Russell, this was what, 8-9 years ago in Seattle. That means the Seahawks are going to lose 6 veteran defensive players, right? Mm-hmm. There's just not enough money to go around, so he had to make up for that. As a quarterback.
Compensating.
The Eagles' defense looks like it does because they put all the money on offense, then, including Jalen.
Look what they did in the offseason. This is all you need to know about this team. They paid their quarterback $250 million. They went on offseason and got another running back and overpaid for him.
Yeah.
In a league last year, think about this, people, where running backs really weren't getting paid that kind of money. They went out and got one. They went out and they paid 2 receivers. We talked about this. A couple months ago when we talked about how no other team in NFL history has paid 2 wide receivers the way the Eagles paid them. Yeah. You know why they did that? Because they knew that their quarterback needed talent around him in order to be successful. The everything that you needed to know about this quarterback was right there. We just chose not to see it. And I hate to say it, but I tried to tell y'all last week.
Here we go.
I have an agenda. No, I'm just saying.
Douglas.
I hate to say it, but I tried to tell you last week. He going into a game against his nemesis without his guys. I tried to tell you.
Kyle, do you expect Hugh to come into a work next week with a sling on his arm? Right? Because he's patting himself on the back so much lately.
No, I'm just saying.
Sore arm.
But gonna ice this, that
is
shoulder,
where,
dude.
This is where we got caught up at. Because we went into this game, when we gave our quarterback $250 million,
that's right.
He got to make him better. Maybe he's average.
Well, maybe we're screwed.
No, we don't have to be screwed. We can win with an average quarterback.
But can win with an average quarterback if you have a lot around him. Do we have – can you –
Well, we do, but they were hurt. Well, everybody were hurt.
Forget the Eagles situation for a second. Just in general. Can you win a Super Bowl with an average quarterback and a below-average defense?
Yes!
No way, man.
Yes,
no way.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking my talk!
No way. This is agenda Douglas over here.
I'm getting Louisiana, man. We going. This team,
no
I'm
way.
Willing it into existence.
This team no way.
Is going to the Super Bowl. We going.
I mean, come on.
We 2-2. We are in
mind.
The middle. This is, look at it like a horse race. Right now, the race just started.
Yeah.
We in the middle of the pack. We right there.
Dude,
still
we
good.
We tripped and stumbled out of the gate.
We still good. No, Jacksonville tripped and fumbled. They out of it. They stumbled.
That horse is being put down. Yeah, all right, 215-592-9494. We'll come back. Your phone calls here after we talk to Seth Joyner. We'll get his thoughts on this. Plus, we'll toss in the Phillies as well coming up. It's the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.